The Boilermakers head to the bye. Probably a good time for a bye following the loss to Ohio State over the weekend. We'll look ahead, including a little preview of that game against Nebraska coming up after the bye on Gold and Black Radio. Kyle Charters here. Tom Dienhart will join us in just a moment, but first this.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway.
Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
All right, Tom, the Boilermakers head into the bye week. Probably comes at a good time. Bye weeks always seem to be at a good time. In this particular instance, it seems like so for the Boilermakers. As Purdue comes off the loss to Ohio State, let's sort of spend a few minutes here talking about maybe what the priorities for Purdue at 2-5 headed into sort of this post-bye second half of the season should be right now. Obviously, the loss to Ohio State was unpleasant, not unexpected, but the Boilermakers falling behind early and not really competing was a difficult one. I guess if you're the head coach, tell me what your number one priority is right now.
Yeah, you want to get healthy. I know that's not a real X's and O's solution to things, but you know, Kyle, everybody's banged up right now. Purdue's one of those teams and already playing without three pretty key players who have been lost for the year to injury. Of course, Marcus Bowe, Max Clare, and Marquise Wilson. Jamal Adrian never even got to the field this year, the Florida Atlantic wide receiver. Played last week without Tyrone Tracy, of course, and he was out. Ben Freehill, Paul Perferi hasn't played this year. So, they need to get healthy. You know, Hudson Card's been pretty banged up too, Kyle. He hasn't missed obviously any games, but he can use this week off as well to sort of convalesce and get back to 100%. So they're going to need everybody all hands on deck here. 2-5. You know, there's five games left. We can all do the math, right? Purdue has to win four of its last five games to get bowl eligible for a third year in a row. And one of the five games is at Michigan, so I think it's safe to say Purdue's probably not going to win that one, which makes the other four must wins, beginning, of course, with the next game, October 28th at Nebraska.
Yeah, Purdue likely a three-touchdown underdog, I would imagine, against Michigan, unless something changes between now in that game here in a couple of weeks after Purdue gets back at it at Nebraska following the bye. I guess if you're going to work on something from an X's and O's point of view, where do you start? I mean, Purdue's got a lot of things it needs to be able to try to fix. For me, offensively, it just feels like Purdue's still a team that's in search of a little bit of an ID. Now, you know, they've run the football well, obviously. But still, even within that, have struggled in short yardage. Not getting the big plays has been a problem for Purdue. All those things are causing some difficulties for the Boilermaker offense.
Yeah, I think you hit on most of the big ones. The short yardage offense seems to rear its head, or the lack of a short yardage offense seems to rear its head every week. We saw it again, Kyle. I think late in the first half of Saturday when Mockaby got almost like the 1 foot line, got tackled, Purdue's first and goal, can't punch it in. And of course they end up going backwards and they missed the field goal, real deflating sequence. But again, we've seen Purdue really struggle, fourth and one, third and short, trying to get that one tough yard. And that's been an issue for Purdue, regardless of the coach. It seems like, you've seen this time and again too, Kyle, over your years. So, again, that remains a problem. You mentioned big plays. Yeah, they've been pretty devoid of big plays almost all year. Deion Burks, two games in a row now, largely a non-factor. And I think we can all agree, right? He's probably the most dynamic guy on this offense. And I know defenses want to take him away, but you still got to find ways to try to get the ball in his hands. So that's been two big things for me. If they can find some solution to that short yardage offense and trying to generate somehow some more big plays, it's difficult. But you think with the way they're running the football, Kyle, that could open up some throws downfield. And they just haven't been able to make defenses pay.
I think it's difficult when you have just really in the passing game one big playmaker that an opponent can sort of scout and prepare for. If you can't go somewhere else to make them pay for that, I think it's a difficulty. And Purdue just does not. While it has other, you know, good players, I think, on offense, more of them are, you know, possession type of guys rather than, you know, big play type of guys. At least that's what we've seen so far from them. But yeah, I mean, it seems to me you could scheme to get the ball still in Deion Burke's hands. I mean, you could hand it to him, for instance, you know, or just put him in the backfield. I don't move him around to try to get advantageous matchups. And it doesn't feel like Purdue has been able to do that and then get him the ball enough.
Yeah, we saw like, I think it was like a quick pop pass against Illinois near that north end zone where he took a ball quick, like almost a shovel pass, and just kind of ran to the pylon and got to the end zone. You're right. Just any way to get him the ball in space, put him one-on-one in space with people, let him sort of be Deion Burks, if you will. So, yeah, they got to get Tyrone Tracy back. It's, I mentioned him being out last week, groin issue, didn't play the second half at Iowa. Devin Mockaby, though, I tell you what, keep him healthy and upright. He looks like he's got his fumbling issues in the rearview mirror. He's gone two games in a row now without a fumble. He's ran for a total of 199 yards against Iowa and against Ohio State. He's really the only bright spot last week against the Buckeyes. He's playing very well right now. Keep throwing the ball to him and letting him be Devin Mockaby carrying the ball as well. So, and then, you know, Garrett Miller, I think Kyle's slowly starting to round into form.
Yeah.
I think they need more out of number 88. You know, I think he had some trepidation earlier this year, coming off that knee injury that cost him all of last season. He seems to be, again, becoming the Garrett Miller we all expected, and he needs to be that guy because, you know, talked about Max Clair being out. He was headed to be probably a freshman All-American. Mentioned Pfeffer, he hasn't played all year, so they're down basically to Garrett Miller, Drew Bibber, and a true freshman tight end. And, again, Miller can be one of those special players on this offense. He has to be a difference maker.
Yeah. You know, the offensive line has suffered a couple of injuries now. The one, you know, very significant, obviously. It really, Purdue's offensive line hasn't been the fivesome that you would hope it would be. I mean, all season, right? Because, you know, Gus Hartwig misses the beginning of the year and, you know, probably still rounding into to shape those first couple of games. And now Marcus Bowe is injured, you know, and it was a rebuilt offensive line anyway. It's the one position in football that you probably have to have some continuity and chemistry, and Purdue has not been able to establish that. Another injury then on Saturday. What do you do from an offensive line point of view going forward? I mean, it's hard. You know, the personnel is what it is.
Yeah.
And there's only so much you can do to scheme on your offensive line to try to hide some other issues there. What do you do here during the bye week headed into Nebraska to try to get that group as in good a shape as possible?
Yeah, you're right. It may be down to a scheme thing where you don't ask those guys to do a lot of things they can't do offensively from a blocking execution standpoint. Yeah, Bo, we talked about Marcus Bo, probably the best lineman, the left tackle. He's out for the year with that ankle injury suffered at Iowa. Of course, Musa got helped off the field Saturday. I believe it's not a super serious injury. I think there's probably a good chance he could be back for Nebraska with these 2 weeks off here, basically. And Luke Griffin, a backup, big backup right guard from Missouri. I think the injury he suffered could be one that could be, you know, pretty serious. So we'll keep that on our radar, too. He was kind of become a nice depth player behind Jalen Grant. And you talked about Hartwig got a late start. You know, Daniel Johnson is a big tackle who finally got on the field a couple weeks ago, who had been coming off a knee injury as well. So I know every team's got injuries they deal with. And everybody's got a sad song they can tell you about their injury list. But, yeah, Purdue's O-line has really been banged up. And, yeah, the depth's getting thin, Kyle. They had to start Ben Farrell last week in Bo's spot. Of course, Ben Farrell – you know, NAIA transfer from Indiana Wesleyan. So when you're talking about a step up, Kyle, you go from playing what Marion College to line up against Ohio State's All-American defensive end. So, yeah, Purdue's at that point now where their depth is really getting tested up front.
Yeah, Indiana Wesleyan there over in Marion. I lived in Marion for 3 years, and I don't believe at that time Indiana Wesleyan had a football program. So it is. I mean, it's an interesting story to be able to go from that level to being a starter against Ohio State in Ross-Ade Stadium. I mean, and he seemed to fare well. I mean, it's pretty remarkable that he was able to make that move. You know, for Purdue defensively, I feel like Purdue's got try-hard guys on defense, right? And, you know, probably just not enough playmaking there, enough depth really to be able to hold up, especially against an opponent as good as Ohio State. So I don't know what more you do on defense other than, you know, try to limit big plays and see if you can get those guys better.
Yeah, there aren't many positions of strength on that side of the ball, I don't think. I like the outside linebackers. Kydren Jenkins has been one of the better pass rushers in the Big Ten. Nick Scorton, of course, has been a cut above, as they say. You know, Will Helt gives them some nice depth off the edge, too. You know, inside, Kyle, they're big, and they got depth. They can rotate six guys. But they're not a real super dynamic group on the interior. Don't always get a real consistent push. And the linebackers, the inside linebackers, are a pedestrian. And OC Brothers has dealt with some injury issues. He's probably the best of the three main guys there. The safeties are just okay. You know, Sanusi Kane probably being the best. And then the cornerbacks, you know, that's a spot that's real worrisome if you're Purdue. It was all year, has been all year. And now they're out without Marquise Wilson, the Penn State transfer. Probably their best cornerback out for the year with a wrist injury. And, you know, Markevious Brown, number one, you know, he remains, he's the bellwether back there now, Kyle, the Ole Miss transfer. And they're starting a true freshman opposite him and Derek Rogers. Botros Alessandro, the junior college transfer, plays an awful lot as well. You could even see Zion Steptoe, the former receiver, get some reps. They really need the Stanford transfer, Salim Turner Muhammad, to get on the field. He's not played all year due to a hamstring injury. So, yeah, we saw, you know, again, that was Ohio State, elite receivers, and we saw some struggles back there to be expected. But, yeah, that's going to be a group that's going to continue to get tested by every team moving forward.
And, of course, Dylan Thieneman, the true freshman, probably the guy on the entire defense with the brightest future. I mean, he's been pretty good for Purdue. All right, Tom, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more as Purdue heads into this bye week before Nebraska. That's coming up on Gold and Black Radio.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group is your local farmland specialist. With decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit AcrePro.com or call 765-775-6502 and talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-775-6502.
At Purdue Federal Credit Union, it's about a relationship. A relationship that goes where you go, wherever you are in life. A relationship that's committed to free financial wellness resources, lower fees, and innovative digital banking solutions. Because we believe in people helping people. Let's build your financial future together. Purdue Federal Credit Union, your trusted financial partner for life. Federally insured by NCUA.
All right, Tom, the Boilermakers on the bye week this week before heading over to Lincoln for really, I guess, the second half of the season here following the bye. You know, one thing we have not talked about is special teams, particularly in the kicking game. You know, Ben Freehill has been hurt. Maybe he's able to come back after the bye. Perhaps that settles down the place kicking spot, though we really don't know. It's not as if we have an extensive history on Freehill as the place kicker, but place kicking was a problem on Saturday. Not sure it really made that much ultimately in difference in winning and losing. If Purdue gets in the red zone against Ohio State, it needs to score touchdowns. That's really the only way it's going to pull off an upset against a team as good as the Buckeyes. But the punting game has not been necessarily very consistent either. I mean, maybe special teams takes a little bit of a backseat to trying to fix all the other issues, but it's rather important as well. And Purdue's been just okay, if even that, in the kicking game.
Yeah, thank you. I think you assessed it pretty well. Yeah, the punting's been, I guess, okay. The Ansel could always improve. And the return game, for the most part, has been a non-factor, although T.J. Sheffield's had some nice punt returns this year. He has been a bright spot on the punt returns. We saw the kickoff return for a touchdown, too, earlier this year, the first game by Tyrone Tracy. So there's been a few glimpses here, and then the return game for Purdue coverage has been pretty good. And then the place kicking, right? Boy, everybody saw last Saturday. Felt bad for Julio Macias. Missing three field goals, clanking one. And that last one, the 27-yarder, was a total shank. And by that point, you kind of wondered where he was at mentally. So, yeah, just tough to see, obviously. Where's Purdue go at that spot moving forward? You mentioned Ben Freehill. Yeah, he's missed four games total this year. A blood clot issue in his kicking leg. But I think there's a chance he could be back. Ryan Walters talked about that Saturday after the game. But even Freehill's had his issues, Kyle. It's not like you're trotting Jan Stenrud or you know, Garrow, you premium, to use another dated reference for you out there. I don't know where you go, you know, at this point. Why not give Caleb Crockover a chance to try to kick field goals? They actually summoned him to kick the extra point when Purdue did score, and he made it. So, that position is sort of a mess right now. There's no other way to really put it. And you know what, Kyle? When you play teams that are kind of your peers or equals, which Purdue's going to do a lot of here down the stretch, one of these games could come down to making a big kick, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's what's got you worried a little bit. So we'll see how that position continues to evolve here these last five games.
Yeah, just very little margin of error for this Purdue team. And when you're going to be taking on your peers here in the second half, like Nebraska, Minnesota, Northwestern, Indiana.
Yeah.
Those teams that you feel like you have a good opportunity against. A big kick somewhere might matter. It could have mattered even in the opener against Fresno, right? A kick that was missed might have mattered for Purdue in that contest.
Kyle, Purdue's 3-9 on the year on field goals. It's the worst percentage in the Big Ten, and the three field goals are the fewest in the Big Ten. So there you go.
Yeah. I will say this about Purdue here at the bye. Nothing that has happened here in the first seven games of the Ryan Walters era has really made me question this whole thing, right? I mean, I just think it's too early, and there were too many roster questions to, make a huge assessment about where Purdue is long-term, right? I mean, do you agree with that? That it's just – I just don't think after – 6-7 games, or even after one season, you can really get a real good feel on this thing. Certainly Ryan Walters, and really any coach, is going to need more time, especially when you look at the big picture and what Purdue had returning this season.
You can't have a referendum after 7 games or even one season, given what Ryan Walters walked into. A lot different. And what Jeff Rom walked into in 2017 with the transfer portal. Now, Walters brought in some players, Kyle, but I think maybe as we look back, maybe he lost some better players, especially on the offensive line. We were talking offline about the offensive lineman. If you had, I'm not saying these guys are NFL players, but I think Spencer Holstridge may be an NFL player. He went to UCLA. Sione Finau went to Arizona State. And the big tackle, Eric Miller, went to Louisville. So, boy, that's a spot you hate to lose veteran players. And those were three big ones. That line would look a lot different if they were still here. So I guess you can cry over that all you want, but you're right. Walters can't be really judged so far on what's transpired. Still a work in progress. And one thing that's going to go on this week that I think he's good at is recruiting, Kyle. And staff's going to fan out. They're going to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Going to lift on Friday, and the staff will be out largely a lot of this week visiting commitments, going to see 2025 kids. So again, that's going to be a big part of what the staff's doing this week. And they had a huge recruiting weekend this last Saturday, Kyle. Over 90 players were here. And, yeah, they're really honing in on the 25s at this point. Just a handful of spots left in that 24 class. So that'll be a big part of what the Purdue staffers are doing this week.
Yeah, and certainly you can be frustrated with, you know, losing games, like as a fan, right? I mean, it's certainly within your right to do that. And I think the Iowa loss to me was extremely frustrating. It was a very frustrating game. I think it was frustrating for everyone, probably for Purdue itself, I would imagine. And then I think, you know, losing to Ohio State is probably a pretty good, you know, measuring stick about where you are compared to, you know, the best teams in the Big Ten for sure. But I just think, yeah, having a referendum, a little too early for me on that one. All right, Tom, enjoy the bye week.
You too, my friend. Take care, buddy.
That'll do it for our podcast for this week. Thanks to our sponsors. As always, if you do like the podcast, please rate us 5 stars on your favorite podcast app. Leave us a comment as well. All right, that'll do it for our show. For Tom Dienhardt, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.